This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 12, 2020. The fifth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Those words, my soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord, are from Psalm number 84. It is the psalm that is read between the first and second readings of the day. These words from the psalmist, at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, should give us an inkling, a nudge into understanding what it is to come into Christ's church. More often than not, when I speak of the church, I actually qualify and say, I don't mean this building, I mean the body of Christ, the Roman Catholic Church. Or I don't mean this building, I mean us as believers, a community of believers. Today, I mean this building and all Catholic churches, because this is what the psalmist speaks about. We see this psalmist saying that to be in the temple of God is not only a longing for the soul, yea, my soul faints for the courts of the Lord. The courts of the Lord, this place where the psalmist desired to be, was a place for him, a place of shadow, a place of symbol. God was present there in word, in the scripture rolls that were in there. He was there in some of the other things that draw us to the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant in some of the older days. These things that our Lord gave us in, again, shadow, was enough to make these people desire to be there to the point where external satisfaction was of no consequence. They didn't care what they had to do to get there. They just wanted to be close to God in symbol. How much more for us as Catholics to understand we don't have symbol. We have God Almighty Himself, objectively present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. That when you come to this place, that's the reason you genuflect. You don't genuflect because you came into a church. You genuflect because the Lord of glory is in front of you, or should be in front of you. Hold that thought. This is where God dwells. Why are we here today? It's a nice day, kind of hot, but it's a nice day. You're doing all other kind of things, okay? And a lot of people are out there. Even people who claim that, you know, oh, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I can worship God in my bass boat or on the golf course just like I can at church. No, you can't. That is a soul-destroying lie. God is not objectively present on a golf course. He is not objectively present in a bass boat. He is objectively present in the Catholic churches where he is reserved under the sacramental forms. That's where he is. And that's where he works objectively and particularly in his church. This is why a psalmist who just had symbol wanted to be there so bad. And we have our day and age where we have God Almighty Himself in our presence. We go, and not here, but in a lot of places, let your mind go back from other experiences. People roll in 5, 10, 15 minutes late, receive the sacrament, and bolt out the door. It's just the opposite of what the psalmist said. My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. A lot of our folks, I can't wait to get out. This is a travesty. It's not just a sacrilege against the Lord. it is truly telling about their own spirituality. They have no clue. No clue whatsoever. We have to appreciate what the Holy Spirit is teaching us about these temples. When we understand this presentation of the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the lines of the psalm, this is Psalm 84, I haven't mentioned that. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Why is it lovely? I mean, we should be doing the best we possibly can to make it lovely. Like I said before, what is the reason we're here today? Why? Because we want to go to heaven eventually, right? You know, hate to be the wet blanket. What is the Catholic life? Preparation for death. All right? It's common. So we're preparing ourselves to go to heaven. What is heaven? Well, it's where God is. Yeah. And until we get there, to see the beatific vision, should we live a life of faith and obedience? Until we get there, the next best thing is a Catholic Church, where our Lord Jesus Christ is present objectively, body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is the only place on the face of the planet where you can be with God. The only place, Catholic Church. Protestant places, they deny out and out that bread and wine become anything. There's not a, you don't go there, there's not reservation. Please, I beg you, if you ever visit one, for whatever reason, do not genuflect when you go in there. Okay? Don't do it. The place is lovely because the church, because God dwells here. This is what makes it lovely. You know, this is why we should make it as lovely as we possibly can. Because when you walk in there, not only, first and foremost, should the Lord Jesus Christ be there, front and center, but we should understand that we should make it in his honor as beautiful as it possibly can be. Because, you know, there, I throw this out relatively frequently, but we have to understand why churches, the buildings, exist. Whether it be St. Peter's, and if you've ever been to St. Peter's, it's overwhelming. I actually had to be nudged when we were on pilgrimage over there. I'm standing in St. Peter's, like, hey, we got to go. No, seriously, we got to go. The bus is getting ready to leave. I could stand in there and just gawk. Okay, it's that gorgeous. This place, nothing like it. Small, humble at best. Both of them exist for the same exact purpose. St. Peter's, this place, any little chapel where our Lord, in a home or in a hospital or in a school, anywhere where the Lord Jesus Christ is reserved under the sacramental forms, the reason the place exists is to keep our Lord Jesus Christ secure and dry. St. Peter's exists to keep our Lord Jesus Christ in that portion of Rome secure and dry, this place on Edgewater Drive, to keep the Lord Jesus Christ safe and dry. That's it. It is actually an ancillary thing that we, well, it's a place where Christians gather together. Why do they gather together? Because they want to be with Jesus Christ. You know, this is his mandate. We are supposed to never forsake our gathering together before him. This is what we need to appreciate. So when you walk into a church, a Catholic church, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord? It should be lovely, I mean, in the aesthetics. It should be lovely, but for a reason. Why? Because Jesus Christ is there. This is what we should experience when we come into church. This is why I throw things out every now and then. Yeah, I'll use the term, I take jabs every now and then. It's not because I have a personal preference over this, that, or the other thing. It's not even a matter to criticize others for the way they might present or do things. It's to get us in the right frame of mind, if we love Jesus Christ, as to why we should do the things that we do for him. Because everything that we do, how we act, how we dress, what we say, is for his honor and for his glory. Because to come into his presence should be overwhelming. It was overwhelming for these folks who had just symbol. This Psalm 84, the Jews in exile used to regularly sing this psalm as they lamented over not being able to be in Jerusalem. They wanted Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And when Jerusalem was up and running and the temple was up and running, they used to sing it on their way there because they used to do pilgrimages. For people in our day and age, what's a pilgrimage? I hop on a plane and I go to Rome. I hop on a plane and I go to Lourdes, you know, wherever, which is, praise God, if you do it, it's a great thing. It's kind of easy for us to go on a pilgrimage. When these folks went on pilgrimage, they took dangerous journeys on foot for days to get to a certain place. They put themselves in danger just in hopes of being closer to God. How much more should we appreciate what we have, being able to come into these places whenever we want, generally speaking, and to be in the presence of our Lord, to be close to Him? This is the ascent, the going up in spirituality and in our holiness, this ascent and this progress of faith. It's interesting in this psalm, there's a verse 7 of Psalm 84. He speaks of people who go into the house of the Lord and who are in the presence and want to get closer to God, that they go from strength to strength. And it's interesting, I always say, be very attentive to the words of Scripture. I mean, every one of the words, not just the phrases or the saying. You know, look at that. The statement, they go from strength to strength. How come it doesn't say they go from weakness to strength? Why is that? Because he wants us to understand that our faith, no matter how good we may be doing it, and you may be doing great, not a criticism at all. There are a lot of people, especially around here, they floor me as to how pious they are. It doesn't matter how pious you are. It can always be better. You can always deepen your understanding and your appreciation of what it is to be, to get closer to God. This is why the psalmist says, we go from strength to strength. Every time I go to church, I feel better. I feel closer to God every time. That's exactly what we need, but it needs to be progressive. That means that you should long for the next time you come into church because you'll feel even better. You understand this. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. We go from strength to strength. This is why St. Paul, when he was facing his execution, it's not a matter of if anymore. It's a matter of when. They are going to cut my head off. And he writes a letter to Timothy, and he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. Now I'm going to receive the crown that has been set aside for me. Fighting the good fight, finishing. St. Paul uses a lot of analogies that have to do with sports and military. Why? Because if you want to be good at sports, if you're preparing yourself for battle where your life is in danger, you will go out of your way to prepare yourself for that. This is what the psalmist means. We go from strength to strength when we come into the courts of God. Every time we come in here and we are in His presence, we should desire and work toward getting closer to Him. This is the progression of our sanctification, our being made holy. This is what we have to appreciate. And what better company to be in than with the one who we desire to be with in the first place? Our Lord Jesus Christ is our crown. This is what we need to appreciate as to how much better we have it than the psalmist who just had symbol. We have the Lord of glory Himself. This is what I said before about the jabs that I make. And yeah, I'll say it, of what has gone on the past few months, in the closures and the limitations in church, because the temple of God is where He objectively works. This does not mean that you cannot pray at your home. It doesn't mean that your prayers are not heard. It does mean they're better when you're in His presence in church. They're better. That's the end all be all. It's better. There are things that can happen in church objectively that cannot happen in your house. Contrary to the presentation about, well, the churches are closed, but it's no big deal because we're live streaming the masses. So what? So what? You get as much out of keeping the TV off and look at an image of the Holy Family or the Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Immaculate Heart of Mary This, you get the same exact thing as to watching that Mass on TV, because you are receiving no objective blessings from a Mass you watch on TV, contrary to the way it's presented. And if there are true, you know, if it was really true, it's just like being there. You're just at home. It's just like being there. Well, if it's just like being there, how come when it comes to the canon part, I can't go get a loaf of bread and put it in front of my TV and a bottle of wine and have communion afterwards? Why? Because it doesn't happen, because that bread and wine is not in the presence of a priest. So that tells you right there, that's objective, that's a manifestation that this is fallacious. It is false to think that it's the same thing. If you watch it on TV, it's not the same thing. You don't even receive the blessings of Father. Just like the bread and wine don't become anything if you set it in front of the TV. When Father looks at that TV camera and says, blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, guess what? You don't receive it because you're not there. Just like bread and wine don't turn into anything in front of the TV set, you don't receive a blessing. I got phone calls and emails, texts from people during the diocesan shutdown. Father, I heard you're hearing confessions. Yeah, we're hearing confession. Could you hear my confession over Skype? No. That was a very easy question for me to answer. No. Not because I don't want to, because I can't. I can't absolve you over the phone. You need to be in my presence. This is a sacrament. This is a reality. Our faith is not a spiritual faith. It is, in addition to that, an objective faith. This is why we have the sacraments. We are not Protestants. They are all about that stuff. The church is a spiritual institution. That's why it doesn't matter if you're this, that, or the other thing. It's not a spiritual institution. It is a real institution, a divine institution that our Lord Jesus Christ established. And in that church, there are places where He is body, blood, soul, and divinity present. And that is where He pour forth His graces, in the church, nowhere else. This is why it is such a travesty that they are shut down, or they're limiting the amount of people. Because you think about it, our faith is objective. And why is the shutdown there in so many places? Because of possibilities. Guess what? It's no possibility. If you're here today, you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And they're keeping people out of the presence of Jesus Christ over the possibility that they may get sick. And hey, newsflash, it's a pandemic. Guess what? Probably everybody's going to be affected with it in one way or another over the grand scheme of things. I'm not a doctor. I don't know that for a fact. But guess what? It's everywhere. So we just might as well get ourselves prepared for it in the presence of Jesus. Because He's really here and I might get sick. I'm going for the given. Okay? I'm going for the reality. And people are being deprived of that reality. We go from strength to strength. Every time we're in His presence, we get strengthened. This is the reason we're here. There is a reason you go to church. We ought to really sit back every now and ask us why, or ask ourselves why we do what we do. Why are you here today? Why? Well, I always go to church on Sunday. Why? Well, because that's how I was raised. Mom and Dad did it, and Grandma and Grandpa did it. That's not the reason. The reason is to be with God. That's why you come to church. And if you don't want to come to church, you don't want to be with God. That's a scary thought when you watch people act the way they do and hear them say the things they say. Why'd you roll that early? Well, I didn't want to get caught in the traffic outside. The traffic outside is more important than being with God. It defies logic. It makes no sense. It is a superfluous faith to approach God like that. We should long to be in His presence. There's reasons why we're here. The desire to be closer to God. Because, you know, His blessing, I'm always throwing out, He puts caveats on things, contrary to the current presentation. God doesn't care. He doesn't ever. He's a big egalitarian that sits on the throne up there. He gives everybody equally. No, he doesn't. Here's not a week goes by and the readings that go by that I can't point out somewhere where God restricts things. He throws caveats in there. God gives everything to everybody. He doesn't withhold any blessings for anyone. That's not what the Holy Spirit says. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. You walk uprightly when you want to be in the presence of God. Then he withholds no blessings. It's a caveat. It's a condition. Unconditional love. No, it's not. Oh my gosh, I've heard that my whole life. Yes, you have. But it's not true. This book is nothing but conditions. Do this, you'll be blessed. Do this, you will not be blessed. That's conditions. Conditions from those who walk uprightly. That's just the truth. God's truth, not mine. The church to come here and to be in the presence of our Lord is, as I said before about St. Paul's analogies of sports, and it's intense effort. It is intense effort. It is hard work. When we get in here, we should pray harder than we do at home because Jesus is right here, front and center. I said to hold that thought before when I made mention of that. You know, church building, they are, as I said earlier, to keep the Blessed Sacrament secure and dry, to just surround Jesus. So would you think Jesus should be in the center of everything? I'm kind of floored anymore. It is not unusual for people to come in here and go, Father, I see the light. Where's the Blessed Sacrament? Dead center? Where it's supposed to be? Because they are so used to things. I mean, I had an occasion to be in another parish one time. And I felt sorry for the lady because she was talking to me about some other stuff. And I was just so taken aback by something. I said, hold on a second. What? Where's Jesus? What? Where's Jesus? I said, I see a sanctuary candle, but I don't see it. She went, oh, he's back there in the Oh, Jesus at my back. Nice. That's common. Put Jesus in a closet off to the side. He is supposed to be dead center when you walk in. This is all about him. He's off to the side behind you. There's something bad wrong there. Bad wrong. This is a place of intense effort. The efforts into designing them and putting them the way that they're supposed to be, and how we act when we get there, and what we do while we're there. It's a place of intense effort, but on the other side of the coin is a place of absolute rest. Again, this is another travesty with the closures. I mean, you cannot go out there. You cannot turn on your devices, read a newspaper, a magazine, and not be just inundated with the horrors in which we're living. You should be able to come in here for like an hour and a half or so, just bask and be in presence of the Lord. No badness, no this, no that. You know, Satan even tries to mess that up. Satan hates the Catholic Church. He despises the Catholic Church. I pointed out in a daily homily a couple weeks, it's kind of interesting because Catholic churches, the masses are being disrupted for political reasons anymore. And I said, it's kind of interesting. The hierarchy of the church for the past 60 years has been playing footsies with people who are of a liberal mindset. They've been playing footsies with them, and guess what? 70 years has got them nothing. They still hate the Catholic Church. They'll still disrupt their masses. Why? Because they hate Jesus. Okay? That's the deep down problem. Our churches are disrupted for political reasons, and then Satan will just use his minions in this world to just be a thorn in the flesh like he was in a parish in this diocese yesterday. Queen of Peace. Queen of Peace, physically attacked yesterday. The minion of Satan drives his truck through a door and then tries to set the place on fire while people are in there preparing for Mass. Okay? Satan hates the Catholic Church. Why? Because Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ is there. No, there are a ton of people who don't believe in the real presence. There are a ton of people who roll out early. There is still a faithful remnant in each Catholic Church. And Satan hates that. He hates that, and he will do everything he can to violently disrupt it. Our Lord, did he not say, they're going to hate you because they hated me first? It's part of our life. Shouldn't surprise us. You know, I'm kind of glad to see when it happens. And I mean that in all sincerity, because that means that we're doing the right thing, making Satan mad, kicking the hornet's nest. That's what we're supposed to do. It's intense work, but it's a place of solace. We got to appreciate that, because the psalmist says, he winds everything up, blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Like I said, when you read scripture, read every word. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house. Notice it doesn't say, blessed are those who visit your house once a week. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. That doesn't mean you sleep in a church. What it means is what goes on in the church should permeate your life every single day. And if it does, you're going to be there more than once a week. If nothing else, just for a visit to our Lord, just for a little bit of solace. This is being in the church. This is dwelling in the house of God, not just visiting on occasion. How would a marriage work if the respective just visited each other for an hour a week? I'm not thinking that would go too well after a while. Okay? There are sometimes some reasons why we can't get to church. They are extremely legitimate. You know, the church burns down, you can't go there. So pray at home and the Lord is going to bless that because you can't get to church. You break your leg, you're sick as a dog, you can't get to church. Kids are sick, you can't get to church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not going to church because this might happen. All kind of things might happen every single day. Okay? You might get killed in a crash on the way home or on the way here. Get with me afterwards. I'll give you a little heads up on that. Okay? It can happen. At the end of the day, we need to be ready for that. And we get ready here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.